You know, what Pastor brought on Sunday was amazing. You know, he said something to, it just literally lined some things up for me. Because, you know, I had some things wrong on the doctrine. Because he said, you know, we've covered some of these things, but we just kind of grazed over some of these doctrines through the preaching and stuff. And that's how it's been for me for the last 4 years. You know, but I've never had it just come just straight doctrine on one specific doctrine. Headship. Had it wrong. Wrong. Way wrong. But you know what? I'm not ashamed of that. Because, you know, what I thought I had, I didn't have. I didn't have nothing. And you know when he said, I don't even have God. He has me. God, that set me free. He really does have me. I come to find out, like Brother Childers said, it's better if I just have nothing at all. Because he can build on nothing. He can't build on somebody that's already got something built. You know? So I was like, man, there's just so much. So much is being poured on me. Just rain on me, Lord. So I just love this thing because, man, eternal security. You know, I looked at it differently, but now I look at it in a whole different light. You know, I look at it as like it's my heritage. You know, it's where I come from. And I had to be born into it. I had to have a new birth. It was very important to have that new birth because that tied you to Him. Straight to Him. And you got to know who your daddy is. It's like when you're born in the natural, you know, you got a birth certificate. It tells you who your mom is, who your dad is, what you're mixed with, you know, just a little bit of things about you. But then as you're growing up, your parents are teaching you, you know, hey, this is how you, what you ought to do, you know, teaching you, you know. And then God puts you under tutors and governors, you know. He did all for me just to bring me here to give me the whole thing. Man, eternal security didn't just cover me on the other side. It covered everything over here. I don't even look at the blessings the same. It's not even really a blessing. It's just God taking care of Himself for the things He needs to do what He needs to do. And I love that. Amen.
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 I love it too. Amen. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I wanted to say two things. First off, I noticed that last night there was an issue, and I've been working on self-control with my mouth. Not that, you know, anybody else would ever have that problem. And, you know, something happened. I had a choice, and I could have chose to say something or not say something. Not only did I not say something, I left. I walked it. It was drizzling last night. I walked out in the rain. You know, it was a little late. And I said, you know, God, what am I supposed to do? God told me to go back home. So you know what I did? I decided I was going to go to UDF and get some gas. God was fine with that. God, you know, they had a shake on sale. I thought I was going to go get me a milkshake, right? Because I was mad and I was trying to calm down. So I got gas, no problem, pulled over towards the thing, got out, went into UDF, and guess what? All their ice cream, they had no shakes whatsoever. Absolutely not. Now, I could have went to the other UDF, but God had already told me to go home. And I didn't call anybody. I didn't call anybody and ask for help. I was, you know, pulling from the God within me. You know, what do I do, Lord? And in the meantime, I had gotten a message, a text message that said, you know, let's talk. I went to UDF instead of going straight home like I was supposed to. So after the shake thing, I was like, you know, I'm just going to go home. I went home and everything worked out. And that was me completely doing something different than what I'd always done. And, you know, I should have listened to God from the get-go. I was trying to be stubborn. You know, I'd asked God. God told me. I could have just easily done it. Fortunately, it didn't escalate. You know, it was just fine, you know, doing what I did. When I got the second sign to go home. The other thing is, Pastor made an interesting comment about how he was listening to these guys from the Moody Institute talk to this guy about the fall. And, you know, it's really interesting to watch how even something innocuous that is said in the middle of a sermon can have applications at the home. And, you know, Pastor said what he did. He didn't correct them. He knew in his mind, his heart, everything in him, what was right. And he knew that he didn't need to get involved. God had this. Well, my husband had an issue where he was trying to stand up for God on the internet, and he was trying to, you know, correct all these things that were going on. And, you know, when I noticed that's what he was doing, and that's why he was not paying attention to what was going on at home, I brought up that at sermon. Normally I would go from a corrective point, like, you should or you shouldn't or whatever. I didn't do that. I talked about sermon. I said, you know, Pastor was talking about the Moody Institute and how all that went down and everything. I said he didn't say a word to them people. He just let it go. He let God take care of whatever God needed to do. All he did was watch and listen, and it reaffirmed the truth that he had. He bowed out of the conversation. He was like, you're right. You know, he's like, you know, Pastor said an example. Lead by example. Pastor said in the middle of a sermon, before he encountered that situation, what God did in that situation, what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to save people. We're not supposed to hurt them. We're not supposed to convert them. We're supposed to let them be. Whoever God wants to bring to us, God's going to bring to us. We can give our blessings. We can do what we got to do. God's got it all.
Yes,
all of us.
Amen.
Amen.
Page 42, I feel like traveling on. Nolan Reeve.
I do too.
It's key of G.
No.
page 160, Hold God's Unchanging Hand. It's good to be here tonight.
What a rest.
Okay, before you sing that song, just think about the title of it.
I was thinking about that title of that song. You know, he said, hold to God's unchanging hand. You know, and Brother Isaiah made a point. He said, you know, God's holding on to me.
Right.
You know, the more you understand eternal security, the more you understand these doctrines, the more you understand that, you know, it's a trivial thing that you're holding on to God.
Right.
I'm like a baby, he said. Yeah. I'm holding on to him because I want to, but he's holding on to me because
right.
he has
no
to.
No matter what.
No matter what. When I get tired of holding on, he's still holding on.
Right.
When I fall asleep, he's still holding on. When I don't want to, he's still holding on.
Amen.
And when I want to, he's still holding
right.
on. It doesn't matter what I want, do, say, or act. God still holds on to me. He's actually obligated to take
right.
care of me. The more I understand the story, the more I understand it, and the more I see it, I see that there's some differences between our church and other churches.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I started thinking about that. I said, when you have predestination wrong, you put works
everything.
In there. When you have the story in the garden wrong, you put works on everything. You have to have works or there's
right.
no heaven.
Right.
You would have to. You would have to do something on this side or you can't go to heaven. Which is why they always say, well, I hope he did the Lord's Prayer before he died. I hope he asked Jesus into his heart. I hope he repented. I hope he. I don't have to hope or opiate, nothing. I just say, God, I know you got me. I know you're taking care of me. And I'm so confident in what I get here, I'm taking people with me.
Amen.
You know, that's some differences that other churches don't have. The Baptists don't have this. The Lutherans don't have this. Catholics don't have this. None of them have this. I'm not paying penance to God. He owes this to me. You know, the more I look at what happens in our life, I'm thinking, God is always just taking care of me, whether I knew it or not.
Right.
You know, I'm looking back at my blessings, and I'm going, he's always been taking care of
right.
me. This is not a today thing. He had to take care of me in my mother's womb. And even another thing that God said, he said, you know, God loves and hates. I love that God's not lukewarm.
Right.
God doesn't like some people. God doesn't maybe. He loves and hates. He loves and hates. That makes it so much different. I used to think that maybe I could get him to like me sometime. He loves and hates before I did good or evil. He loves or hates. And this world is trying to make it so lukewarm, so cookie cutter, so many people can get invited. No. God only wants to hear from himself. God only wants to take care of himself. And God only loves himself. I thank God that I'm inside that circle because there's a lot of people that are not. So as this crazy world gets neurotic, this crazy world gets crazier, I'm looking at it and saying, there's always light in Goshen. And I'm taken care of. God bless you.
You know, he's obligated to himself is what he's obligated to. He's not obligated to me. Don't know me anything, the flesh. But that thing he put in me, that's what he's obligated to. That's what he loves. You know, and if that bothers you, he loves and hates. Just there's some he knows, some he don't know. Put it that way. Maybe it doesn't sound so bad, you know. There's some that he knows, always known, always will know, and there's some that he's never known.
Right.
You know, he said, depart from me, you work for me. I never knew you. Never, ever. not once. Not the best you did. I didn't know you. You know, I was sitting there looking at, you know, he loves me, but I love him. He's obligated to me, but I'm obligated to him.
Right.
I put this word first, you know, and you know, when I don't, you know, my flesh, it bothers me. You know, I can say, same as anybody. You're saying, I do things I know is wrong.
Right.
But you know what? It bothers me. It bothers me. I don't want to do that. Flesh gets in the way, you know. But
Amen.
He loves me.
Amen.
And I love him.
Amen.
Bottom line.
Amen.
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 Time is filled with transition. Oh, to God's unchanging.
Another little nugget in there, and all it does is just drives the anchor that much deeper. I mean, I am that I am, by the grace of God. God will watch over himself. Even the testimonies we get, Brother Moore, you don't even hear people testify like this out here. The best testimony they got has got a little tweak of law to it. You know, and it sounds good. You know, God is my co-pilot or whatever they say it now. It's like, it's just garbage. It's just law, but that's all they got. But oh my, I've got so much more than that.
Amen.
Such a freedom that's never been here before like this on a people. Such a revelation, such a rest, such a confidence we have. Such a confidence in the Word of God. Even though he can't draw me, he's looking after himself. All of that means something to this bride. Every bit of that means something to us. It's so beautiful. Such a rest it brings. I love it so much. And you know, you come in on Wednesday night, and I know long days and on and on and on, and sometimes you feel like you gotta pump the people up a little bit more, but it is what it is.
Right.
I'm gonna get mine. If you don't ever get yours, I'm gonna get everything I can out of it. I'm not gonna leave hungry. I'm not gonna leave with my plate with still food on it. I'm gonna leave here with my plate. I'll lick it clean when I'm done. Walking out the door saying, thank you, Lord, for a little bit more, and it'll get me through whatever I need to get through. You know, it's not even a battle really. I mean, it's really not. I go to work, and since all this junk has been happening, oh, my goodness, all this nonsense they bring up. I think, Lord, they can have it all. It doesn't even matter to me. All it's doing is pushing us to a bottom. It's that simple. Everything we see happening in this world today is just shoving us that much close to a body change. Makes God nervous.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, one scripture comes to my mind, and it's back in Isaiah somewhere, and it said, who has believed our report,
right,
and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?
Right.
He's revealed to me one quick little thing. The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is here. Can I say something? False prophets are lying. God's truth they're denying. That Jesus the Christ is our God. I forget the rest. Where the heart, thank you. Oh, the day of redemption is here, is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit. Jerusalem's restoring her national lifelong dethroned. Today she is calling a ladder, rain's falling. Return, oh, disperse to your own. Oh, the day of redemption is near. Your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is here. The heavens are shaking, many are mistaking God's meaning to be of the sky. But God's church is the power that's shaking this hour. The day of redemption is nigh.
Thank you. God. All will see how great, how great is our God. Lord Jesus, thank you for everything you've done for us. Heavenly Father, you're great. You had this whole thing in your mind before the foundation of the world, Lord. There's nothing happening that you didn't know about. It's not an accident. There's not a mistake. You see the whole world running around in your mind, and you've got all things in your hands. And then they'll all wind up exactly as you saw it. And we're thankful to know that, Lord, that we're down here just manifesting what was in your mind before the foundation of the world, part of that eternal attribute that came out of you. Appreciate that understanding. And Lord, as we approach the word tonight, Lord, we ask that you move both the hearer and the speaker out of the way. Lord, just preach to us. Talk to us, Lord. Make it clear to us. Reveal yourself to us that much more. Make us that much more thirsty and hungry to get out of here. Lord, the day is approaching. We can see it's near. It's any moment now, Lord. But while we're here, we want to continue on the battlefield and fight for you and do what you have us to do. Be with our elders, Lord, Brother Childers, Sister Spears, those that couldn't be here tonight. Continue to bless Trevor's body and Brother Mac's body, Lord, and a lot of other prayer requests that's come forth, Lord. You know them. Move on their behalf. Thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be here. And before we get started, you know, don't forget, on the 21st we'll be more and a few, I guess, whoever decides to go, we'll got a church down in Springboro, Ohio, we're going to be going to on the 21st. And then Friday the 27th on 7 o'clock at my new house, we put the address back there, we'll have a bonfire. All are welcome to. And if your kids want to dress up, we'll have some candy and stuff, so we'll do that. So, you know, come and have a good time. We'll fellowship and have a good time. You know, I, by no means, don't worry, I'm not trying to take the church bonfire and act like it's mine. I just got a new house. I want to share it with you all. And, you know, one of the things I learned from Brother Moore is, you know, we're a body ministry. And, you know, you take the, you know, I always use the example, you take the Super Bowl party. It doesn't have to be at the same person's house every time. It's not one person has to own it. We're a body ministry. And who's to say we'll even do a Super Bowl party? You know, God can change that. But you don't take anything for granted. You just, you go with it and you be a body ministry. Nobody want to do Super Bowl party, I'm happy to open my house, but I don't have to be the one who does that. You know, that's the way that we should believe and do. But come and enjoy, and we're anxious to share our place and have a good time and fellowship. And God's been good, and enjoying the doctrines that we've been hearing. You know, and even the topic that I'm trying to talk about, you know, as I was looking at it a little bit more this week. You know, it's amazing to me how much doctrine we've had preached here, Brother Destin. You've been here a lot of years. You've sat underneath it and heard it. Because, you know, as you go through, and Joe, you can put that chart back up if you don't mind, because we'll just let it be up there because we're going to try to make it through it tonight. But you know, as you go through those steps and things, it brings back to your memory a lot of times the things that's been taught here. You know, I think I was telling Brother Moore, I was thinking about the tribulation period, and when I was reading a couple quotes, and it reminded me of the time, you know, Brother Schroeder would honing on the threefold purpose of the sixth seal. Right. And this is not what I'm preaching tonight, but, you know, you got to purge the 144,000, you purge the fullest virgin, you purge the earth. And all that happened during that tribulation period. But that's not my thought, but we have preached sermons on this stuff and series on these things, and God's been good to us. And, you know, even tonight as I think about this, you know, I'm glad to know who I am. Amen. I'm glad to know where I'm coming from. Right. And I'm even glad to understand this because as I look around me at the world today or tonight, it's a crazy situation. But I understand this world's not my home. And I'm just passing through. I'm here to do God's job, and then I'll be on my way. And we're living in an hour right now that in the time of the rapture, soon and very soon we'll be getting out of here. And I'm glad to understand that. And because you can look at this world now, and I'm going to read a few quotes here tonight and stuff. Brother Branham prophesied about this. The Bible prophesied about this. Everything's just clicking just the way God wanted it. And when you realize that by revelation, you'll realize that's why you don't have to go out with a picket and picket with the people of the world. You know, there's nothing wrong. I donate the causes. I donate the things. There's nothing wrong with it. I do that. Even though this ain't really my home, I've donated money to things because I feel good about it. And I love this earth. I love this America. I love different things about it. But in saying that, I still know this is not where my final destination is. I'm not trying to be here forever. And I'm glad I don't have to be, because I've been looking at a world that don't want to change. You know, it's funny. I got a quote here. And brother, and I'm going to read this because it ties in tonight. But Brother Brandon was talking about the condition of the world and where all the money is. And it's just controlled by a bunch of rich people. And he's like, if you think you're going to convince them to give up their money, you're fooling yourself. They're too used to it. And people in this day and age are selfish. And things like that, you're just not going to change it. But I'm glad this world's not my home. And we are going to try to get through this. Because, you know, what I realize, too, is I'm only hitting the highlights here. You know, if God wants to, he can come back and preach a lot more detail to this stuff. Because every one of these boxes have a lot of doctrine behind them. And I'm just here trying to show you, here's what's going to happen. So, you know, it's kind of funny. Over the years, I've gotten used to, you know, because we've been tutored here, well, preaching in such a way, I got a couple of quotes, a couple of scriptures, and we let God have his way. When you get a topic like this, you get nervous, and don't worry, God's got it in control. I'm not nervous tonight. I'm just saying the thought process goes through. Well, there's a lot of quotes on this. You got to do this. And I was like, I ain't preached like that in a long time. I was like, I'm a little nervous about that. These are deep things, and I haven't tried to put quotes in order and try to make this thing make sense, but, you know, here's what's so great about it. God's still going to have his way.
Amen.
That's why, see, I don't know it all, Brother Deskins, but I know this. I've preached long enough to know God's got to have his way.
Amen.
I like knowing that. Because I can only preach the way he makes me preach. Amen. If I get up here and I try to preach a different way, Brother Moore, man will be in it, and it'll be messed up. So God's still going to have his way. Because I can think about that. It's like, I can't hear nice. Like, I ain't even going to try to put this in the order that I got in my mind, because that'll mess it up. We're just going to get out of the way and let God have his way.
Amen.
And that's what I like about it. That gives me rest, Brother Isaiah, because at the beginning of the week I thought, this is too much. But then the time I got here tonight, I thought, I'm going to preach the same way. God will have his way. He's going to put the scriptures together. He'll put the quotes together. And this thing will be taken care of. Because I'll tell you, I've sat under some good preachers over the years. And if you're not careful, you can look at how good they are and think, who in the world am I to think I can do this? You know, when Brother Parnell was here, Brother Parnell had an ability to do some of this. I don't preach like that. I'm not meant to preach like that. And I'm not going to try to preach like that. But the one thing I've been taught, and I'm proud to say this, I understand the boundaries of this message. I might not be able to go in this deep cloud over here, this deep thing over here, but I know enough about the boundaries of this message to stay in between those boundaries,
Amen.
Brother Jim, and I'll come out just right.
Amen.
That's what I love about it. I've been taught to be that way.
Amen.
That's how, you know, I was talking to Brother Moore the other day about this. I thought Brother Childers was in such a way, this is the way that this church has been taught, that somebody could miss an I being dotted on the simplest of doctrine.
Yeah.
A doctrine that you and me in our minds would thought, that don't amount to hardly a hill of beans.
Right.
But you let somebody miss crossing the T, that man would rebuke that thing and get on it and say, that is not right.
Amen.
And I'm thankful he was that way.
Amen.
Because the only thing that we have in our hands that does not change, the only thing we have in our hands that we can stand on, is the Word of God.
Amen.
If I want to have anything right, it's the Word of God. My job could be lost tomorrow. My house could be burnt down. My dad could pass away tomorrow. But the one thing, as we said over and over, this word will never fail.
Amen.
So stay in the boundaries. I don't care if it's the simplest message. If you're staying in the boundaries, you're preaching something that I can accept. Something that will edify. Something that will bless me. Something that will progress me forward. But if you come in here with your own ideas and step up on a branch that don't hold you, I'll sit quiet. Because it won't sound right to me, and I'll leave here and I won't be blessed.
Amen.
But if you just come here and say, God first loved me, and that's the reason I love him, and that's all you've got at that moment, that will bless me. Because I love hearing about how he loved me first.
Amen.
That I was in his mind before the foundation of the world. That he saw me before I could even do good or evil, and had already declared that he loved me.
You tell me that and you didn't say anything else, I'll go home and enthused. Knowing I came from God and I go back to God. But if you come in here and say, well, we were back here in God's mind and we were pre-existent of souls and because eternity had no starting end, I'm going to get off. I ain't going to ride with you. Because we don't believe in pre-existence of souls. You're trying to think too deep. If you come in here and try to tell me what we're going to eat at the wedding supper, I'm not going to tell you what we're going to eat at the wedding supper tonight. Because I don't see a whole lot of scripture about it. I ain't going to try to presume about it. I'm going to stay in the boundaries. I know there's going to be a wedding supper. I know I'm going to be there. I know it's going to be physical. I know my name has already got a seat assigned to it. I'm in the lines, Brother Moore. I might not know what I'm going to eat. I might not fully know all of it, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to eat. I know that. And I'm going to have a good time. I know that. And there will be communion there. I know that. Because Christ said, I won't take communion again until I take it with you again in my kingdom. So we will take some communion there. I know all that. But if you ask me if I'm eating chicken or steak or this, I ain't going to get with you. I'm going to stay in my simple form. There's a wedding supper I'm going to, and I'm going to be there. That's what I need to know. The rest ain't going to help you much anyhow. You're going to be so glad to be here that you ain't going to be worried what you're going to eat. You're going to be so thrilled to be there, you might get drunk on that wine. Let me just put it real to you. You might actually get drunk on that communion wine to where you don't even remember what's going on. You'll be so drunk in the spirit by revelation in the spiritual and probably drunk in the natural that you won't even remember what you did, so to speak, as a type for you. So just be glad you're going to get there. Be glad we're going to go in there, that we're not going to be in the tribulation period. That's a good thing to know tonight. I'm glad I'm not going to be here in that 3.5 years time frame, Brother Moore. Because this place ain't going to be a good place to be. God will be gone. The bride will be off the face of the earth. Imagine what this world's like. It's already bad with God here. Take God out of it. Woo. Every time they're taking God out of anything, it's gotten worse. Put God out of school, it's got worse. Take God and prayer out of everything, got worse. You take God out of something that's never gotten better, it's only gotten worse. So imagine when he leaves this earth and takes us with him. It ain't getting better. It's only going to get worse. So let's read a little bit and talk about it a little bit. God help me. There's too much. But it's good. I'm glad to know I'm not going to be here. That's the first few things we're going to talk about, that 3.5 year wedding supper. I'm glad I'm going there. We talked about the rapture Sunday night. That's what's happening first. Amen. My body's going to be changed. Let me throw this in here. The last will be first. The first will be last. There's even going to be an order to this thing. The last will be first. We know it. It makes sense. Why? That's the head. The body don't move without the head. So you don't even think Paul's coming first. The last will be first and the first will be last. But that rapture's going to happen, Brother Jim. And we're going to be raptured off this earth. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. And we're actually going to a wedding supper. God is not going to leave us here in the great tribulation period. Now, Brother Moore talked about how this thing is going to go on the internet. So I'm going to put a few quotes in here. Because I want them to know what the prophet said about these few things, and so that we can have it right. Now, the one thing about this thing is you got to keep scrolling up and down sometimes to find it. Here, I want to read this. What shall we do with Jesus called Christ? Just want to start with this. Brother Branham says, I believe the church will, but not the bride. The church will go through the tribulation. Yes, sir. You know, that's the church up there. You got Baptists, you got Methodists, you got Lutherans, you got all these denominations, Catholics, Protestants, that's the church that did not recognize their day and its message, thus did not get born again. That's who's going through the tribulation period. But the bride, thank God, is free from it. She'll go in the rapture. In a moment. In a twinkling of an eye, she'll be caught up to meet her Lord in the air. Amen. For the wedding supper. Amen. She has nothing to go through any tribulation about. Her Lord has paid her price.
Amen.
Brother Branham says, we're so thankful for that.
Amen.
I feel that way too, Brother Branham. I'm thankful that Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
I will not be here through the tribulation period. I will be raptured off the face of this earth going to a wedding
Amen.
Supper. You know, the foolish virgins who are an eternal attribute of God, you know what their problem is? They just haven't been born again yet. If they had been born again, they would go, as a bride, they'd go to the rapture with us. The reason why they're going to go to the millennium, they haven't been born again. They got to still be purged and get that new nature. That's why they're not going in the rapture. But we, the bride, have been born again. Predestinated by God, we are going in the rapture. But there's going to be a tribulation period, and it's going to last 3.5 years. So now with that, I want to read a couple scriptures. Turn with me to Matthew, 11th chapter. I'm going to read one verse here. Matthew 11, verse 23. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained to day. Now, why did I start there? Because I want to talk about something. Brother Brandon made a prophecy. He said, California is going to sink. He used that scripture right there as a scripture of it, because Capernaum said, thou that call thyself the city of angels, Los Angeles, city of angels. He said, you getting exalted, thinking you're up in the heavens,
right.
You're going to be going down
right.
to hell. Now, you know, with our legalistic minds, and I love this because I have such a balance on this now, we used to just say, well, they're guilty of this sin, and homosexuality is there, and they've done this, and so God's going to burn them, and they're going to punish them. That's not really what it's about. You know what it's really about is there's a group of people on the face of the earth, not just that town, but that town broadcasted through Hollywood
right.
and through movies that have total disbelief in God.
Right.
They just don't love God's word.
Right.
You know, we have a grace for those things, and we understand just because you have those issues, you can still go to heaven.
Right.
That's still true tonight. Homosexual can make it to heaven.
Amen.
He or she won't be one there anyhow.
Right.
My problems won't go with me there.
Right.
So we understand that. But the problem is why that town got pointed out is that's where they do movies.
Amen.
And they broadcast all this junk. And it's against the word of God.
Amen.
That's what God don't like. Just because you're out there, and you know, if you think about it, you can watch it, you can sense the Spirit. They think they're greater than God. They think they're more educated than God. They know more than God. This is a 2017. That's old-fashioned. That's what they're saying. Like Brother Moore preached, I love how he balanced it. Women have to work this day. There's nothing wrong with it. You have to do it.
Right.
But don't let it deny the word of what the Bible says.
Right.
There's a place for a man and there's a place for a woman.
Right.
Well, that's the problem with Hollywood is they don't think that way.
No.
They don't believe God's word.
No.
There's no balance for it. That's what God don't like.
Amen.
And the reason why I wanted to start here is I wanted to start with the condition of the world for a minute. Because
yes.
this world is in a condition.
Right.
It's bad.
Right.
But it's prophesied in the Bible. You know, Daniel in the chapter 8, and I'm not going to stop and read everything. It's talked about these kingdoms, and we're in this last kingdom that said craft will prosper. Guess what's going on now? Manufacturing is prospering.
Amen.
We're in such an age. This Bible has prophesied that we would get right here. And then we are here right now.
Right.
People don't want God.
Right.
The scripture, Brother Moore, says they'll get itchy ears, not wanting sound doctrine,
Amen.
Taking their own thinking. You've got Russia over there now, more powerful lately than it's ever been. You got a people in America that don't want God.
Right.
You got a president in America that's just crazy.
Right.
I'll just say it like that and go on. I respect him, but he's nuts.
Yeah.
On and on and on. This world is crazy.
Amen.
You got North Korea talking about bombing America. You got America talking about bombing North Korea.
Right.
Like we've never done it before. You got people that don't care about the earth. We trash it. We don't take care of it. We don't worry about a thing. People don't have common sense about nothing. You know, common sense is close to revelation is what we've been taught here. They have no revelation about anything. They're just stuck with their own thinking. Nobody's balanced about anything. They're not balanced about gun control. They're not balanced about anything, Brother Jim. Why? Because they've left God.
Amen.
That's the problem. And there's coming a day right here at the end time that God's going to show his judgment. And a part of that is California's going to sink. That's part of this sequence. I just want to talk about that. And it's not because God, like I said, is burning somebody just because they're a bad liver. It's unbelief that he's after. That's what he's after. And there's going to be an earthquake, and that whole thing's going to sink. Now, I'm getting ready to read a quote here because I just remember getting taught these things here. And I hold on to them because it helps me see the condition we live in. Now, think about this world. Go back to 9/11. Two little World Trade Centers going down put the world in a recession. Just two little World Trade Centers. We have wars, and it helps the economy. Sometimes it hurts the economy. My point being, these events triggers things that gets the world in the place that God needs it to be.
Amen.
We are exactly, as bad as this world is, getting closer to the rapture, getting right where God wants us to be. We can rest in this. We know we're not going to be stuck here. And we can look around and say, God's just moving us closer and closer to the end of the world. Now, the reason why I wanted to come here, I'm going to read a quote. Think about the finances for a minute. Who really has the money? And I'm going to read you a quote here in a minute. Brother Branham back in 63, just prophesied, and it just hits left and right of what's going on here. You can see it so clearly. But you know where I'm going to say it first? Catholic Church has money, and the Jews have money. Wall Street Jews have money. We in America don't really have money. We're in so much debt in this country. If you had paid attention at all, we're in $1 trillion of debt. We can't afford it. We've had people paying our bills for a long time to get us out of trouble. We are not anybody. This country, as great as it is really not backed by much. It is backed by just how its reputation more than anything else. So imagine California sinking. If two World Trade Centers put us in a recession, and I don't remember the stats. I think it was almost 50%, but it may not be that high. But California in America has a big portion of all of America's economy. It has a big portion.
Amen.
And I'm bringing this in because it just shows you how God has worked this thing. Imagine this big portion of a country's economy sinking in the ocean, no longer in existence to generate jobs, generate money, generate anything for your economy.
Right.
It will throw this America in chaos.
Right.
It's already shaken, but that thing's going to throw us in chaos.
Amen.
None of this is to put fear in you. We're going to get out of here.
Amen.
I'm just showing you how the world is shaping up.
Amen.
Now let me show you what Brother Branham said about this for a minute. Because it goes into the tribulation period, which is what I'm trying to get to. And then we'll talk about that a little bit. Brother Branham in the first seal. Now watch in the end time. Not in the early days when Christ was preaching, but in the end, the last part of the week, where we just took the 70 weeks of Daniel, Christ has prophesied for 3.5 years, and 3.5 years are yet to be determined. So let me stop right here. That wedding supper and that tribulation period will be a time frame of 3.5 years. When we get raptured here and go to the wedding supper, it will be 3.5 years. Now, this is even important to note because there was a time when Brother Brad wasn't sure if it was 7 years or 3.5 years. But after the opening of the seals, he was very clear, 3.5 years. So I want to put that in there. Is that right? And the prince in that time is to make a covenant with Daniel's people, which is the Jews. That's when the bride is taken out. We're raptured. We already talked about it. Going and ready to go in the tribulation period. Now listen. In the last 1/2 of Daniel's week, the people makes a covenant. This prince makes a covenant with Rome. Think about this world house setting up. Everybody loves the Pope that's here right now. Makes a covenant with them, no doubt for the wealth. For the Catholic and the Jews holds the wealth of the world. I was in the Vatican. I seen the Triple Crown. He's talking about how he's going to meet him. He says, I'm going to jump on down. He went and said he was going to meet him. He refused to because he was going to have to go in there and kneel down. He says, I don't do that. I only serve God. So jumping on down, he says, Why did communism raise up over here in Russia? It just makes me sick in my stomach to hear so many preachers hollering about communism, and they don't even know what they're crowing about. That's right. Communism ain't nothing. It's a tool in the hand of God to bring revenge upon the earth for the blood of the saints. You know, I'm getting to read this, but Rome's going to make a bond with the Jews. Then they're going to break it. You know who's going to defeat and fight Rome? Russia. Revenge for that's why they're getting strong. They're the one country Putin don't listen to nobody. That is the one person that the Pope don't have much impact on. Think about it. He does just about everybody else, but Putin ain't listening to nobody. Anyhow, let's keep going. Communism ain't nothing. It's a tool in the hands of God for the revenge of the saints. After the church is taken away, thank God we are, Rome and the Jews will make a covenant with one another. The Bible said they would with the holy people. They'll make it because why? This nation, this is 1963, much better shape than we are now. Listen to what I said. This nation is going to be busted. And the rest of the world that's on the gold standard is busted. You know that. And if we're living off taxes, due bills for 40 years from now, where are we at? It's much worse now, Brother Brown. There's only one thing that can happen. That's to call the currency and pay off all the bonds, and we can't do it. Wall Street owns them, and Wall Street's controlled by the Jews. And the rest of it is in the Vatican. And the Jews got the rest of it in Wall Street with the commerce of the world. We can't call it in. Now listen to what it says. I want to just put this out there, because we do got a lot of selfishness in this world. If we could do it, do you think these whiskey guys and these tobacco people, billions of dollars a year will write off their income tax for all this stuff, go out in Arizona there and buy millions of acres of lands, dig them big wells, $50,000, and pay for it off with income tax, and they put you in jail if you don't pay yours. But they write it off and throw wells and send bulldozers in, and what do? They put housing projects in there, and next turn around with their money they made, they have got to make an investment and put houses, projects, and sell them for millions of dollars. Do you think them guys is going to compromise and change the currency? He's basically saying no. So I want to read this because that was in 1963. That's how this world's getting set up. We're getting ready to go into a great tribulation period. That's what's next for this earth. We're getting raptured out of here, and we're going to a wedding supper. We're going to a place where the bride of Jesus Christ will be there. The Old Testament saints will be there. Christ will be there. And we're actually going to sit down at a table and have fellowship and have communion. And it will go on for 3.5 years. But this earth is getting ready to crumble, Brother Jim. It's already shaking and can't hardly hold itself up. We're busted as a nation. And it makes sense to me now that Rome will be willing to rescue everybody. The Pope is unifying everybody. And the Jews love their money. And they're saying, let's make a bond. It all ties together. And that's what's going to happen. And this war is going to, and the bride will be off here, and this world's getting ready to go into chaos. God won't be here. And this world's already psychotic. And you take God off of it, I'm glad we won't be there. And it will be 3.5 years. Let's go to Romans 11th chapter. Or Revelation 11th chapter, sorry. I'm going to start with verse 1. Because this is what I'm about to read is getting ready to happen during the tribulation period. Revelation 11, chapter 1, verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days. You know what that is? 3.5 years. You want to know who those two witnesses are? Moses and Elijah. I'm going to read a quote back for the internet so that they have that here in a minute, because some people don't believe that. But there's going to be two witnesses, because I've talked about us being a wedding supper. Now we're going to talk about what's going on down here on earth. Amen. Tribulation period will be here. Sure. But you know who's going to be here? There's 144,000, Brother Duskin. God's people. Jews. because God blinded Israel for our sake. But it was only to preserve life, because he's going to go back to them and get him some of his original people, Jews. And so you got these 144,000 that these two witnesses will be coming down to, prophesying to and preaching to. And Brother Branham made it very clear, Israel only accepts prophets. And they're going to have Elijah the prophet and Moses the lawgiver. That's the two people that got to have. It makes sense, because they believe in the law and they believe in their prophets. And that's who these two witnesses are. And they're going to be preaching to the 144,000 for 3.5 years. What are they going to be telling them? They don't believe in Christ. They're going to be talking about Christ. Jesus is the Christ. They're going to tell them the story. Same thing you and I know. The redemption story. Christ came. He got him a bride. They're going to let him know the whole story. And that 144,000, just like we will elect, Brother James, are believers. Ordained to be believers. And they'll sit there and they will amen the word of God. I'm going to read a little bit more on this. And those Jews will make a covenant with Rome, but Rome's going to break it in the middle of this week, half week. And they're going to try to kill these Jews. But don't worry, God will take care of them. He'll make sure he preaches to them. They'll be changed in a day. It ain't a big, long work in that sense. It can be changed in a day. But they'll preach for them 3.5 years. Now, let's keep going on. Because this is the tribulation period time. But this has got more in it. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks, messengers, standing before God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, devoureth their enemy. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. God will protect them. You know, somebody said at the beginning, it almost makes God nervous. God ain't nervous about nothing, but in type, he's almost got to be nervous. Looking around saying, I got to get my bride out of here. And the Muslims and the people already hate the Jews. And I got to get over there and take care of them. But don't worry. He made sure this is taken care of. He'll make sure that's taken care of. He's not worried about it. Now listen to what he says these two witnesses have power to do. And tell me if this doesn't sound like Moses and Elijah. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn into blood and smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. That's two people. That's what they do. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. After they finish their testimony. They're going to get the job done first. But then here comes the old devil killing them right on time. And their dead bodies shall lay in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. It'll be in Israel. Going to be 144,000. And they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in grave. That's going to happen. We won't be here, but that's going to happen. Moses and Elijah are going to preach to 144,000 in this tribulation period. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall give gifts one to the other, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. People think they're going to win. These people brought plagues. They brought curses. This tribulation period has been horrible. Kill them. Going to be celebrating. Now, after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life God entered into them, stood upon their feet, and a great fear fell upon them that saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven with a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. That is the third rapture we talked about Sunday night. It's right there. In the same hour, and I want to get down to the verse 14. The same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell, and the earthquake were slain of men, 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to God of heaven. Here's another thing I want to say. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. One could argue that the Third World War, one day if history would last, they'd point to it, it already started in some way. Or they would be out, just like they did the First World War, they'd say, Bin Laden in 2001, he triggered a series of events that led to the Third World War. But what's going to be happening in that tribulation period is war. Because think about this. America's in ruins because California sank. How many countries love America right now? The only one I can think of is maybe Israel. That's about it. You know, the first opportunity somebody gets to try to blow this place up, guess what they're going to do? Blow this place up. It's going to be atomic warfare. It's going to turn this world upside down by the time it's done. The 3.5 years have to happen. It can't be completely destroyed until it's over. But by the end of this thing, this world, these bombs, is going to blow this earth on its axis and clean it off.
Amen.
So that we can come back and live in the millennium.
Yeah, right.
I won't go there, but Malachi 4:1 talks about burning it down to root and stubble. That's key to understand, because that's what this atomic warfare is going to do. It's going to burn it down to root. Didn't say it was going to fully kill it. It's going to burn it down to root and stubble. That's the burning that's going to happen before the millennium. It's the Battle of Armageddon.
Right.
It's the Third World War. Amen. That's what's going to be happening in that great tribulation period. But you and I will be in heaven enjoying the wedding supper.
Amen.
The earth will be going through the great tribulation period. Moses and Elijah will be preaching to the 144,000. Now, right at the end of this thing, Jesus is going to appear to the 144,000 and reveal himself. And he's even going to show up and show wounds in his hands. And those Jews are going to say, who did this to you? He said, the house of my friend. Because you know who crucified Jesus when he came the first time? Jews. But God blinded them. And Jesus is going to look at him and say, don't worry, God did it to preserve life. So you go to Gentiles and get a bride. But I'm here for you now. Don't even worry about it. That'll be the end of that Moses and Elijah ministry. Jesus will come. You know what? It was the end of Brother Branham's ministry. Jesus came. You know what's going to be the end of Moses and Elijah's ministry? In reality, Jesus is going to come.
Amen.
And say, I'm here now. I'm the Messiah is here. And they will believe, because they would have heard, they would believe Moses and Elijah. And they'll just walk in and say, that is our Messiah right there. And then those Jews will be set right over in the millennium and show up and live in the millennium with us. Now, that takes care of the second square. So let's celebrate that. But let me read a few things real quick to just throw this in here to back it up for people that are going to listen. Then we'll move on. First of all, there's been questions before about, are the 144,000 going to be in the millennium? I just said they'll be set in the millennium. I want to read a quote just to put it on here for witnesses. In the Seven Church Age book, that blue book we carry around, Brother Bram said, now these 144,000 are not in the bride. In Revelation 14:4, they are called virgins, and they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. The fact that they have not defiled themselves with women shows that they are eunuchs. Matthew 19:12. The eunuchs were the keepers of the bridal chambers. They were attendants. You know what the 144,000 is going to be? It's not servants like we is a bad word. They're just going to be servants over there. They're going to be happy to be in their place. Notice that they do not sit in the throne, but are before the throne. No, they are not in the bride, but will be in the glorious millennial reign. I wanted to throw that in. They're going to be set. Jesus is going to reveal himself. He's going to set them right over in the millennium. Because the earth will be burnt off. That Jesus can actually come back to the earth and step on it and live on it. And that's what we're going to do. The next step is live on here for 1,000 years. Those Jews will be right there with us. Let me read one more thing. Brother Branham said in the Feast of Trumpets, now I feel in somebody's mind saying that couldn't be Moses. Yes, it is now. Remember, he can tell me your thoughts. Let me straighten that out for you. It was Moses. Because here's your thoughts. Brother Brandon was discerning. You say Moses, it couldn't be Moses because Moses died. You know, Moses actually died when you read the Bible. Elijah didn't. So people believe Elijah's one of the witnesses because he got raptured out of here. But Moses died. You think it's Elijah. It is Elijah. True. Well, then you think it's an Enoch because Enoch got raptured out of here. You say Moses is already dead. But remember, he could come back to life again. And he did. He did. 800 years later, 700 years later, he appeared on Mount Transfiguration. You say, after a man is done dead? Yes, sir. Lazarus was dead and raised again, and then had to die again. And even the wicked will be raised again to life and have to die the second death. Is that right? So get that out of your mind. It is Moses. Watch your ministry. Just exactly what Moses and Elijah done. Closed the heaven and sprayed fire upon it. That's why I read it. That's what that scripture said they did. You know what the thing they done? Think of it. It's the end time, folks. Hallelujah, Brother Brim says. The great day of the Lord is at hand. Gather yourselves together. Feast of the Messiah. They'll reject him. They'll find out that that is their Messiah. He's talking about the Jews. The Bible said them striking things like this would take place. In Revelation 11,
Their ministry will be the ministry of Moses and Elijah, calling to Israel out of the Jewish traditions. They're going to drop the law. Realize this amazing grace. Calling them out of Jewish traditions. Just as the seventh angel's message called the bride out of Pentecostal traditions. Remember, Moses and Elijah is to call Israel out of the old atonement of the lamb and sheep and blood and goats and sacrifice to the real living sacrifice, to the word. That's what's going to happen. That 3.5 years, it'll be Moses and Elijah preaching 144,000. Call them out of the old Jewish traditions, and that 144,000 will be set in that millennium. So, that'll cover that. So, rapture, wedding supper for us, not the rapture, great tribulation period for the rest, and 144,000 will be preached to by Moses and Elijah. Now, let's talk about the next step. Because after that 3.5 years, Christ, there's 3 comings of Jesus Christ. First coming is to redeem his bride. Second coming is to get his bride. That's going to be the rapture. That's what we're in right now, getting out of here. Third coming is with his bride. He's actually going to come back to the earth and live here with his bride in a millennial 1,000-year reign. So, that's what we're getting ready to talk about. Revelation, the 20th chapter. I know this is taking a little time. We'll get done here after this step. Revelation, the 20th chapter. Verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon. By the way, this is just the doctrine of the secret of events. Just put a part 2 on it if you got to. I'm not meant to throw a title out there. And he laid hold of that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. This is going to be a real 1,000 years. Because you know there's never been a man after the fall in the garden, to live 1,000 years. Methuselah, the man that lived the longest, only lived 969 years. But to break the curse on the earth, God's going to have us live 1,000 years in that millennial reign. But Satan will be bound. He'll be in the grave. He won't have access to us. I said that Sunday night. We're going to have all 3 realms perfect. He's bound by a chain of circumstances. Cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he could deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a season. I'm going to drop down to verse 5. The rest of it we'll talk about further on. The rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. That's you and me. On such a second death hath no power. Now, there's 1,000 years here, Brother Jim, that Satan's going to be bound. Amen. So, the rest of the dead, the 144,000 are in the millennium, the Old Testament saints are in the millennium, the bride's in the millennium, Christ is in the millennium, we're living for 1,000 years on the face of the earth. But the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years, bound in the grave for 1,000 years. We are here going to break the curse. Let me show you a few things then. And type, because millennium has still got time on it. It's a time frame. And type, you're not in eternity yet. You're still doing some things. You're still doing some work. And you know, it's a type of how Christ it's creation time. The Bible says a day, 1,000 years of man is like a day to the Lord. Well, let's think about it. How many days did he take to create the earth? 6 days. And then on the 7th day, he rested. Now let's talk about the earth for a minute. First 2,000 years after the fall, Adam to Noah, it flooded. 2,000 years. That was justification. Next 2,000 years, Noah to Jesus Christ. Christ died, spilled his blood. That was sanctification. Next 2,000 years. Right here, the 7 church ages, that story of redemption. 6,000 years. Guess what God's going to do in the next 1,000? Rest. Just like he did back there. And it's still in time because that was creation time back there. It's time right here. But it will be 1,000 years. And you know what this earth is going to eventually have? The baptism of the fire and Holy Ghost to clean it off. First burning does it down the root and stubble, but there will be coming a burning that kills out root, stubble, kills out everything. But the point I want to make is the millennial reign will be 1,000 years. We're going to live here. We're going to enjoy this earth. We're going to build houses and inhabit them and live in them. You know, as a kid when I heard this story, You know, your kid has imagination of thinking, I'm going to have the biggest mansion I've ever dreamed of in my life. But you know what? If that's what you want, that's what you're going to have. But the lion, think about this. You couldn't have a lion and a lamb lay down here. That lion would be saying, I got some dinner. But when we get to that millennium over there, Brother Moore, the lion and the lamb will actually be able to lay down next to each other. There will be peace on earth, joy on earth. We're going to enjoy this earth and live here and enjoy the fruits of it and live for 1,000 years and break the curse. That's how it's going to work. And you know what? There's another doctrine sometimes. People used to ask the question, will we have babies in the millennium? No. Why? We'll have a glorified flesh. We'll have a theophany. We'll have a new soul. There won't be blood in here. There will be nothing about the sex program. There will be no babies born there. That was the whole thing that kickstarted the problem in the first place. And you say, well, I didn't bring it because I didn't want to read everything. But in things that are to be, Brother Bram said that. He said he'd go over there and he'd hug women. And he explained to them, why couldn't I hug them? He said, there'll be no gland there. No sex gland there. We have them here, but it won't be there. So we're going to live there and live 1,000 years like it's just a day. You know that's how it's going to feel to you? Think how fast the day goes by here. I mean, and I don't mean that in a negative way. You're going to be enjoying yourself so much. It's going to feel just like a day. Time flies when you're having fun. And the devil and his followers will be bound, and Satan won't even have access to us because we're perfect in all three realms. And we're going to build houses and inhabit them, enjoy the animals, enjoy everything about this earth. God will have it looking like we just love it. And it's just a start. You know, I just, the wedding supper, you know, you think about a natural marriage and you go to your reception, so to speak. That's a good old time. And then, you know what the millennium is a type of? It's like your honeymoon. You go on your honeymoon, you have a good old time, Brother James. You know, I'm looking forward to these things because it's going to be a good old time for me. It's going to be a fun time. I'm going to enjoy the earth like God intended me to enjoy it all along. I said it before, I'll say it again. Sometimes we say, what's it going to be like to live that way? God's made it exactly to your liking. You will enjoy this thing. Now, I want to throw this quote in here as well. Shalom, 1964, Brother Branham says, there will be a millennium. You know, in Questions and Answers 1964, they actually asked Brother Branham, is a millennium just a time span? Is it 40 days? Is it just a generation? He said, no. It will be 1,000 years. Right. Now, Shalom, he says, there will be a millennium. The old will be young there forever. Sickness will fade away, and death will be no more. They shall build houses, and they will inhabit them. They'll plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. They'll not plant in another inhabit. You know, people won't be able to take your land there. You know, one day, Brother, one of those Indians will be in heaven with us. Nobody will take their land then. God will make all wrongs right. His son will take it. He said his son will be living by him. He won't be taking his land. He'll be living by him. You know, Brother Chosen made a statement one time, and maybe this ties into it. He said he just believed he probably lived by some people he knew down here. Well, I believe that too. He said his son will be living right by him. He'll not plant and another eats, die off, and somebody else take it, but he'll live there. Amen. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the child shall lead them around, and there'll be no innocence. There'll be nothing that could hurt. We'll be changed from what we are now to the glorious image of the Son of God, which is immortal. Years can never touch him. Age can never do anything to him. He's the immortal Son of God, and we're at the end time. So, there's going to be a rapture, a wedding supper, and a 1,000-year honeymoon. We will live here 1,000 years with Christ, our groom. 144,000. In one sense, are just our fellow brother. Other sense, their role will be servants, if that's what you want to call them, or attendants. But this is going to be a good time. It's like, I love how Brother Moore's always broke that down. Eternal life is eternal life. We're all going to be happy to be right there. Whether we're living in the city, whether we're living on the earth, whether we're doing this role or doing that role, we're going to be enjoying this thing and be right there. And Christ, you know, Christ's friends will be there with him, Old Testament saints. And I love it. I love this story because it makes sense to me. When I have a wedding, I want my friends there.
Amen.
When I'm partying at the wedding supper, I want my friends and loved ones there. Amen. You know who's going to be there with me? And I, you know, in type, and on this earth we made a servant bad, but in type, when I'm out there and I'm having a good time, I don't want to worry about a thing, Brother Dustin. I want somebody to bring me my glass. I want somebody to bring me my food. I want to have a good old time, Brother Jim.
Amen.
This thing, I always say God's the greatest storyteller is.
That's right.
Everybody else just mimics what God's already told. But I want my friends there. I want my loved ones there. They're going to be right there with me. My loved ones will be there. Jesus' friends will be there. The groom's best men will be there. The bride's maid of honor will be there, so to speak. We're just going to have a good old time. And have a. Now, in the millennium, only, you know, we say the natural type's the spiritual. The only thing is there ain't sex there. But we'll have some friends with us on our honeymoon, and we'll do all kinds of things there. But we're going to have a good old time. That's the main point I want to make. And that's what's coming up next. And then it'll be the white throne judgment, general resurrection, Battle of Gog and Magog, and I'm not going to talk about this tonight, new heaven and new earth. That's the sequence. That is coming. I'm glad I'm one of them.
Amen.
I'm glad I can see it.
Yes.
Glad I understand it.
Amen.
I'm glad soon and very soon I will be there.
Yes.
The end times all around me. I see the earth shaking.
Yes.
I see the financial situation just like Brother Branham said it would be. It makes sense to me that somebody's going to have to rescue this nation and all nations because the world is not financially backed by anything. It just takes the right event to turn it and crumble it. Wall Street's going to crumble one day. It's going to crash. It's crashed before. There's coming to crash like never before. And a tribulation period is going to sit in. But we're going to be out of here because God does not leave his bride in the tribulation period. And then here comes Christ revealing himself to 144,000 to take them with him. You know, Brother Branham said Joseph was a perfect type of Christ. Because when Joseph wanted to see Benjamin, the type of 144,000, you know where he had his bride? In the palace. He said, let me go get Benjamin, 144,000, and then reveal myself to him. And that's what he's going to do there. And then we're going to go to the millennium, a honeymoon. And the rest of the dead live now 1,000 years. I'm glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm glad I have an understanding of this. I'm thankful for sound doctrine. The world don't have a clue how to line this up. Most message people don't have a clue how to line this up. But we sit here with all these details. In the middle, in all those little squares up there, there's been so many things we've been taught here that you can't hit them all in 10 services, let alone one service. God has been good to us. God bless you. Come on, Pastor Moore. Lord willing, we'll get the rest of this.
Sequence of events. There's so much in those sequence of events that you couldn't cover it all. 10 preachers couldn't cover it all. But we try. Jeremiah tried. And it was good, Jeremiah. I appreciate the fact that we understand these things. I always go back to this point because this is something that if nobody else understands, we need to understand this. The things that we are talking about are the things that God straightened out in Brother Childers' mind in 1973. I mean, just to take the doctrines like we're taking them. Joe, if you were back there, can you put up there that doctrine thing on the website? I want everybody to see this. Just to think of all the different topics we've talked about. Just go to the video part of it. All the different things that we've talked about, all this was corrected in a night. I mean, if you have never understood the importance of that one night, just think. We've been talking for weeks. We've been talking for weeks, and we're not through. We're not even. Jeremiah's been hitting this for a couple of days, two services, but all of these doctrines. Now, all the details didn't come that night, but every doctrine that he got happen because of that night. And that's the thing I'm trying to get everybody to understand, is that it's really amazing. You know, Brother Childers has said it. He said as long as I've been here. He said it before I got here. He said when Don got here. He was saying it before Don got here. Yeah. Only one that was here is Sue and Danny and Lois, who was there when it happened. And the impact that it really had on the church. They knew the difference. Because from what I've talked to him and heard is that Brother Childers laid down with one thinking, and it was a Friday night. And then God dealt with him that night and revealed all this to him that night. That Saturday morning when he got up and started preaching it to Brother Price and different ones and Danny and Lois, and they knew he had changed. They didn't understand the depths of it, but that Saturday morning he got up preaching. And he was a whole different person. And the doctrines and the revelations that we cut our teeth on now are what was given to him in one night. That's what's so miraculous about that. You know, it wasn't just education. It was really, now this is what we've done here. I've had Joe did this last week. He put it all on one page so that we could see. These are just, This is since 8-6. These are the doctrines that we've just started on. And that's just, what was it, 8-6? What is this, 10? 2 months? We've been talking on this for 2 months. He got this in one night. We've been talking service after service for 2 months. And we are not even close. I mean, everything. You know, I was telling Jeremiah, I said, and I really appreciate Joe putting this together like this, because it's important, because when people come to the website, if they want to know what we believe, if they really want to get into the doctrines, it'll be easy to find. It won't be in the services that rotate out. This is going to be a permanent fixture of our website so that they can always get to the doctrines. You want to know serpent seed, if you know, and the doctrines are perfect. But all of these and more are things that's why Brother Childers has always said he's been a doctrine preacher, because he really have been. And everything that, and I told Jeremiah, it might have been today or yesterday, whenever we were talking, I told him, I said, Jeremiah, Brother Childers has been a doctrine preacher, but so are we. We couldn't help but to be doctrine preachers because of the way we were raised. We were raised under doctrine. You can't help but to be a doctrine church, because you were raised under doctrine. Now, a lot of these doctrines, you know, you don't have to know all the details, but this thing ties so perfect, and it runs all the way through, that when you take field trips and you go to other places and you hear them preaching, and they're in and out of the Word, they're hitting and missing, they don't know what to do with scriptures, don't know what to do with the quotes, it helps you to appreciate exactly what God has done for our church. This is why we go around the world and nobody can set us down. This is why when we go around the world, they have questions and answers, and they're out there asking us the questions. This is why this has never been defeated anywhere around the world, because it runs so perfectly. And so I always like to bring that back to that point, and because people think, you know, they think we're following Brother Childers, we're following a man, we're stuck on a man, and Brother Childers, they think he's exalted in himself, and on and on and on. And how else can you explain God coming to you and changing everything you believed in one night, but to say you'll either come this way or you won't go? Now, they took it as, you got to do what Brother Childers did. You got to have that one night experience. No, that's not it. The bride will have the revelation. She'll have the doctrines. She'll know what it is. This is what makes us different than every other church. The doctrine is what you believe, and the doctrine is what makes you strong, and the doctrine is what, and we're just taking little snippets of these things that we tie it so much in our ministry, in our preaching, and we tie Brother Branham's services so they're so intertwined with our preaching that you don't hardly even hear the doctrines. Yeah, I mean, you don't pay them attention. We just run right through them. But for us to stop and say, this is the doctrine of, this is the doctrine of, it's causing you to take note and stop and say, whoa, this is a particular doctrine. But every last one of these, we've been preaching this as long as I've been preaching, as long as Brother Childs been preaching. All of these are intermixed. We'll in one service, we'll preach 5 or 6 or 10 or 100 doctrines. I mean, we'll hit it, and it runs and ties so perfectly that it's like an orchestra, a symphony. You've all heard a symphony. You know, you can take a instrument, a snare drum, or a horn, or any of them, and you can play the instrument, and you can hear that instrument. But when you get all of the orchestra together with all the instruments, the music is beautiful. And that's what happens when we preach. It's we don't take one doctrine, but all the doctrines that Brother Childers had received and all the doctrines he'd been teaching us that we've been going over and over the years, we play it like a symphony to the congregation. And you're not just hearing serpent seed, eternal security. You're hearing it all together. And it runs and it all ties so beautifully that when you hear it, you hear beautiful music.
Amen.
So what we've done for the last 2 months was grabbed one instrument and played one instrument each service. This is one instrument. This is how it sounds. But really, the way we preach, like Jeremiah's right, he said, we don't normally just take quotes and scriptures and settle down and teach. We're preachers. We preach. And we preach the whole thing. But to narrow down on one doctrine, it's hard for us to narrow down on just one doctrine, because one doctrine ties to the next doctrine, ties to the next, and it all runs together till you talk about the whole song, the whole symphony at the same time. And that's why our church loves it. That's why our church is different. That's why we just love coming here and hearing this, because it runs perfectly. And I'm not seeing anywhere else do it. And you say, well, you're not the only one. No, I'm not the only one. I'm not even trying to say I'm the only one. I know I'm one. I know I'm in the orchestra. I know I can sing and play. I know we can get down. We get down when we come to church, you know. And so for us to narrow it down to, it's hard on us because, you know, even when we talk, when Jay and Jeremiah and myself, we'll get together and we'll be talking. When we talk, we're talking doctrine. Doctrine on top of doctrine on top of doctrine. And it's like to pull one out, it's like pulling the trumpet out. Pull out the cymbal, you know, the big old bass drum. It doesn't play the whole song. It's just certain times you hear this rumble. But it's right on time. And so for what Brother Childers received that night, you know, we could never thank God enough. And it's not to pump up the man, because it's not about that. It's about this. About what God's given him and how he has stood when all that other false doctrine was pushing against him. He stood there and held to that God gave him in 1973. That's why I said my job is nothing more than to hold this church to what God gave him in 1973. Stay right there. They've come with new doctrines. They've come with new births on top of new births. And nobody's got it but me and my kids. And we need a new prophet. And we've got all this other stuff, third coming, all this stuff. They come up with all this new stuff, and we don't need none of it. I am so full over what happened in 1973. That I don't need nothing else. This message took us all the way tonight to the millennium. Right. So I've got enough to take me all the way through it. He stopped. He wasn't through. He'll be back. Because he's got to get us to, it ain't done until he gets to the new heaven and new earth. Don't leave me at the 1,000-year reign. I'm still in time, you know. So but see, all these things work together. And it's beautiful. And it's beautiful because, you know, by us extracting certain doctrines and just discussing a service with a doctrine, it's helped the whole body. I mean, everybody's like, oh, I haven't heard it in a long time. Then they hear it and they're like, oh, I didn't know that. Or, oh, that's clear. You know, it should be clear now when it was the last time you heard it. Yeah, I know it is with me. I listen to it and I take notes and I listen and watch. And it's like, oh, my, it's amazing to me. And we've been around for a little bit. So, you know, that's what, and I appreciate Brother Joe for doing that. He did it really quickly, too, because I wanted it done so that it wouldn't ever be lost. Because these are good doctrines, and it's pulling out things that we were there when Brother Childers would fight with these brothers over the doctrines. They didn't want it, and he would hold right there. No, this is this one. No, this is no, and he'd stay right there. And because he stood right there, we were taught to stand right there. So now when I hear somebody's false doctrine, I ain't worried about their false doctrine. I know where I'm standing. You know, and if I can help you, I will. If I can't help you, I'm not even worried about it. Because you know what? God's the only revealer. So it's took the work out, and now we can just enjoy the orchestra, enjoy the music, enjoy all that God's given us. Come on, musician. I enjoy it, Jeremiah. Oh, I want to see him and look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. That's what Jeremiah was trying to get to. He did an excellent job. I was feeling for him because he was trying to get it through there. But there's a lot to it. Everything he was talking about is a message in itself. Every bit of it. That's how deep this revelation is. And you can't get all of it. Matter of fact, even if you go across it, if Jeremiah got up next service and preached the same message, he would preach more than he did tonight. Because even when you talk about it, it goes right into another whole area it opens doors, and it opens doors and opens doors. That's why Brother Childers has been preaching this since 1973, and he still get excited about it and still add to it and have more to say about it because it's eternal. My goodness. Thank God that we got something. This is special, people. This is what you have is special. Don't take it lightly because it's not out there. Most people don't even want it. The time has come, like I said, when men will not endure sound doctrine. We are here now. But you know what? We love sound doctrine. We want it. Amen. Come back on Sunday morning. Come expecting. Now, sounds like the church is going to get redone. I think all the paneling's coming down and drywall's going up and we're getting a new roof. So we'll let you all know what's going on. We'll try to keep the place semi-clean, so I know y'all wear y'all Sunday best. So we'll, as things happen, we're going to coordinate and try to make things happen, but we have things to do around here. So we're getting a facelift, but Lord knows, must need it. Amen. Come back expecting Sunday. Come and see what else God has in store for us. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to that crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, to him I must win. Look upon his face, and there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me sing.
let me live.